Well, hello there. This is Chris Brown. And before we get started, if you're thinking about selling or buying a home soon, I suggest you get help from a trusted real estate agent through our endorsed local providers, also known as our ELPs. They have the heart of a teacher to help you through every step. Go to stewardship.com and click on Find an ELP to connect with someone in your area.
Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, folks, and welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. So glad that you are tuning in. And today, we're talking all about stewardship, of course. What is it, though? What in the world is stewardship? That's just some old church word? No, it means managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory. In that definition, you talk about God's blessings. It's everything, not just money, but every single thing is God. Psalm 24:1 tells us that. And we're going to manage that God's way by the scriptures, and not for our glory, because it's going to work. Our relationships are going to be better. Our wallets are going to be fatter. But it is not for our glory. It's not for our wealth's sake. No, it's so that we can radiate more of God's glory. That's the whole purpose. So again, stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory. This is a call-in show. You call in with your stewardship situations. The number is 866-357-3283. Again, 866-357-3283. Or you can email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Now, today's Did You Know fact. Did you know that we do that? Well, we do today. Did you know that April is National Financial Literacy Month? Teachers across the world are the unsung heroes who are helping kids learn how to handle money and avoid the money mistakes that you and I know all too well. Well, we want to give back to those teachers. And right now at stewardship.com, we're giving away a vacation for two and prizes for their classroom as a thank you. We're thanking them for all their hard work. So if you know a teacher, maybe it's a family member, or maybe it's a friend, maybe an acquaintance. But if you know a teacher, tell them to head to stewardship.com to enter today, and we'll be giving away a vacation and a bunch of prizes. So make sure they take advantage of that. Again, at stewardship.com. Well, again, the phone number is 866-357-3283. We look forward to your phone calls today. This first phone call comes in from Utah. This is Jody. Jody, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm always doing well. How can I serve you?
I have quite the question to ask.
Okay.
So last year, my husband decided to start a business. We invested a lot of money, personal money, and then credit card money, and it tanked. So we tried to get all the credit card debt reallocated so we weren't paying those outrageous interest rates.
Mm-hmm.
So we opened two interest-free for a year credit cards, and we refinanced our two cars. So the two cars that we've refinanced, the interest rate is a 2.9% interest rate. So what I'm trying to figure out, I've done the math, I've done all the calculations, I can clear all the debt about 8 months.
Good.
But what do I do? Do I worry about paying off the credit card debt first because it will bite later? Or do I pay off the car debt because it's accruing interest currently?
Well, let's pull up a little bit. What's the total amount of debt?
About $20,000.
All right. What's the total amount of income?
Yearly,
yep,
would be about $32,000.
Okay. And you're saying that you can pay this off in 8 months?
Yep. We are amazingly frugal.
Well, apparently. That's pretty impressive. We're going to go ahead and put you down on Dave Ramsey's debt-free scream list for 8 months from now. That's pretty cool. Talk about gazelle intense. That's impressive.
Yeah, well, and we were debt-free. I mean, we'd paid off probably about $50,000 in debt before all this.
Okay, so you know how it works.
Yeah, and I've always just been a frugal person. I don't spend ever.
So let's break down all these debts. How many debts are they? What's the amount on each one of them?
So there's 4 total debts.
Okay.
2 car loans that equate to about $11,000.
What's the total of each one?
$3,000 and $8,000.
Okay, and the other two?
The other two are the credit card debt, and each credit card has about $5,000 on it, a little bit less.
All right. Well, I'm going to make your life a little bit more simple.
Thanks.
All you're going to do is list those in order, $3,000, $5,000, $5,000, and $8,000. And you're going to not worry about interest rates at all.
Okay.
And I know that mathematically drives you insane. Because from a math perspective, you're like, oh, no, but you don't understand. 2.9 is bigger than zero.
Right.
But here's the deal. Over 8-month period, the difference between 3% and 0% doesn't really matter. What matters is that you nail these things. You get that $3,001 out of your life as soon as possible. And when you apply that payment towards the first $5,000 one, you're going to get ahead faster.
Okay.
If you do the debt snowball that way, by amount, not by interest amount, you will get out of debt faster. You'll stay motivated faster. You'll be more excited throughout the journey because you'll see steps being done. This is not a mathematical thing. The thing is if it was a mathematical thing, we wouldn't be in debt in the first place.
Right.
This is more of a psyche thing, and we want to make sure that we put those in the debt snowball, smallest to biggest. So, and that makes everything a lot more simple.
Sure.
You're going $32,000 in income. You're going to take some extra jobs probably, pay off $20,000 in 8 months, all because you're going to go $3,000, $5,000, $5,000, $8,000. There's no interest rates part of this decision. So that's the way you do it.
Okay. And then the other question that I had really fast,
mm-hmm.
we need to look at purchasing a van because we have 2 children currently, and I am currently pregnant with our 3rd. We can't fit 3 car seats in the back.
Mm-hmm.
So how do I play that into our debt elimination?
Yeah, so how many cars do you have 2 right now, right?
We have 2 right now. One is extremely reliable. One is not so reliable.
Well, you're going to have to use that emergency fund. Before you even start paying off the debt, you want to make sure they have $1,000 in savings.
Right.
And so you're going to use that $1,000 towards as reliable as you can get a car that can fit 3 car seats in the back.
Okay.
And I know that you, the folks listening in, you're like, there's no way. Well, there is a way because I've done it and it's possible. So you can find it out there. And you'll have to do some trading in on one of your current cars to make it happen. But,
yep.
And just know this, just to fit 3 in the back, it is going to be a little tight, but it doesn't mean you need an extra large SUV. Okay.
Right.
There's a land in between. So it could be a large sedan rather than a small 2-door car. It could be a larger sedan. So try to find something in the middle.
Okay, perfect.
All right, so you're looking for size. It could have a high mileage, so you're going to have to give somewhere, but you're going to get the size that you need.
Right, okay.
All right, Jody, thanks for the call.
Perfect, thank you.
All right, bye-bye. This next call comes in from Tucson, Arizona. This is Bill. Bill, how are you?
Doing great, how are you?
Oh, I am better every day. How can I serve you?
Well, my wife and I are at a kind of an impasse of what our decision should be for paying off the house in which we live in.
Okay.
Whether we should pay it off or whether we should plow money into investment. We're debt-free, been debt-free for quite a while, and we have like 29 years remaining on this home. But one of the kind of interesting caveats is we're both 53, and my wife will be retiring in January 2018.
Okay, so let's take a look at, you said debt-free. Do you have any savings?
Yeah. Oh, yes, we have quite a bit invested. We have like $805,000.
Okay, and you said invested. Do you have any liquid cash?
We have, a couple thousand dollars here and there. We have our emergency fund, and we have some liquid cash that we're setting aside. We have, we do an envelope program for things we're saving for, like we're saving for a new truck here in 5 to 6 years.
Okay.
So we're working on that and our normal, not a whole bunch of liquid cash.
Mm-hmm. Your investments, what is that $800,000 in?
Oh, I have a TSP investment through work. My wife has over $300,000 in her TSP. We have Roths.
Do you have any other residential property?
We have another home that we own outright.
Okay.
And that's valued at about $80,000.
Okay.
And our parents live in that house for 4 months of the year, so. that's nothing that's like sellable.
Gotcha. So I guess the overall question here is, do you pay off the primary or put more money into investing?
Right, right. I mean, we don't plan on living in the primary for maybe 4 to 5 more years and then downsizing out of it and either moving into that house that the parents live into or buy another one and just cash flow improvements on it.
What is the reason for downsizing in 4 years and not now?
We're not old enough to live where we want to live. The neighborhood we want to live in, we want to live in a 55 and older community. We're both 53.
Gotcha, gotcha. And you're trying to avoid moving twice?
Right. Why downsize for 2 years and then move again mm-hmm. another year and a half, 2 years later?
Okay. Well, you know, just like I would help anybody, you have a lot of different variables in your scenario, but I guess so does everybody. They're all different. The baby steps still apply. So it's you're going through and you got this extra income. I'm assuming, obviously, you do have extra income. That's why you're asking
right.
About this. And I would apply 15%, your first 15%, which is baby step 4. Are you familiar with the baby steps?
Oh, yes. We've gone through the whole program, Dave's okay. financial piece. My wife puts in 20%. I put in 17% into our investments.
Okay. Well, I would back those down to 15 total for both of you together. And the rest goes towards the primary.
Right.
Yeah, that's. I think you're just over-investing already. Maybe you're doing that because you're trying to catch up and you're 53. Is that what you're doing?
Right, because the simple fact that, you know, we're going to both, she's going to retire at 56 and I'm very potentially going to retire at 57.
Yeah, well, of course. I think you should do 15% household income and the rest towards the primary. I want you to retire with absolutely no mortgage.
Okay.
So 15% allows you to dollar cost average between now and then. And then, you know, when you retire, you're going to have this income that you don't have any payments. So you can continue to invest in dollar cost average for another 30 or 40 years. So, but I really don't want you to have a mortgage going into retirement. That'd be my number one motivation.
Sure. Okay. Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Got an email here from Edward. Says, love the show. My wife and I are both 32. Recently paid off our mortgage. Pretty cool. We have one car payment left. Didn't expect to have to purchase another vehicle, so we kept on paying the house off. Other than the $16,000 for the vehicle and $5,000 we owe our parents, we're debt-free. Okay, so let me stop you, Edward. Many people do this to me all the time. Other than this debt and this debt, I'm debt-free. Edward, you're not debt-free. You've got real debt. So I'm sorry to do that to you. I love you, Edward. It's all in good fun, but you're not debt-free. Okay, moving on. We currently make roughly $116,000 a year. Now that is awesome. Do we start paying down the car same as we did the house or continue on with the other steps? Then pay off the car baby step 6 after we get through 3, 4, and 5. Or do we pay off our parents first? Oh my goodness, Edward, I love you, bro. But here's the deal. They've got the baby steps have numbers associated with them on purpose because they're linear. 2 comes after 1, 3 comes after 2. It's amazing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I'm not just picking on you, Edward, I promise, because this is actually 3 or 4 calls in a row or emails in a row that have been all about going out of order. We have spent a ton of time on research and looking at the scriptures and weighing everything out over 20 years so that you don't have to do that. We know what works. We've got 4 million people who have gone through Financial Beast University following the steps who have seen ridiculous results. So what I would do is I would follow the baby steps. 1,000 saved. And then you're going to pay off the $5,000 to your parents. Then you're going to pay off the $16,000 to the car by the end of the year. And then you're going to start working on baby step 3, saving 3 to 6 months of your expenses. You can do this. All you got to do is follow the plan. You've got this. Don't try to go out of order. It's that simple. $1,000, then your smallest debt, your next smallest debt, and now you're debt-free. Now you start working on baby step 3, then 4, then 5, then 6, and then 7. You know, I was thinking about this with my, I've told a few of you. I don't know if I've told everybody. I don't even know if I've said it on the broadcast yet, but I'm in the middle of marathon training. That's right. My workplace, Ramsey Solutions here, has sucked me into the vortex of marathon training. And I'm in the thick of it right now. The race is on April 30th. And in this context, talking about all these linear steps, what would happen if I went out and did the marathon training and said, you know what? Oh, I'm all stretched out. I'm so ready to train. My first run, 22 miles. Now, that wouldn't make much sense, would it? No, on day one, I've got to get out and I got to just walk a mile. And I'm not a runner at all. And so, next day I've got to maybe run a mile. The next day, a mile and a half. And you've got to take baby steps, but don't go out of order. If I would have went out and tried to run 15 miles on day one, I would have pulled three muscles and messed up my knees, my ankles, and my feet. So let's go in order. Okay. You can't sprint until you know how to walk, and you can't walk until you know how to crawl. We've got to make sure that we go in order. By the way, one thing that's so great about Financial Peace University is it supplies great accountability. And I love accountability. I think it's good for us. And so I'm going to ask for a little bit more accountability when it comes to this marathon training. I'm in the crunch time now, just got a couple weeks left. I want to flat out tell you publicly, I am going for a 4:19 as my time. And I want to tell as many people that as possible, because these next 16 days or so are going to be the most trying times of my training. And so I just want to say that out loud so that I've got accountability to hit my time and not just finish, but actually I'm not a runner at all, but 4:19 would be stretching it for me. So keep me accountable on social media. All right. So I want to make sure that you guys know about our ELPs. I don't know how many times you've thought about selling your house only to have a friend or family member recommend a real estate agent who you don't know. Has that ever happened to you before? And then you feel obligated? Yeah, listen closely. Just because a friend of a friend recommended them doesn't mean you should trust them with this biggest financial decision in your life. You need to find a top agent in your area that you can trust to get you that best deal. Our endorsed local providers are real estate agents with the heart of a teacher. An ELP will walk you through each step of the process, teaching you along the way to make sure you have all your questions answered. You want to do anything you don't understand. The best part of working with an ELP, our surveys have come back and they show that our customer service is absolutely outstanding. So make sure you take advantage of them. Connect with a top-notch real estate agent in your area if you're planning on buying or selling a home. And you can do that by going to stewardship.com, clicking on Find an ELP.
This is Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Remember, we want to hear your questions and your success stories. Every story, from your smallest milestone to your biggest victory. Email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
All right, well, we are talking all things stewardship. Remember what stewardship is. It's managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory. It's not just simply recycling or taking care of the rainforest, okay? It is stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory, all rooted in Psalm 24:1, that the earth is the Lord's, not ours. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Another version says all it contains. The original language for all it contains, well, all it contains. That means everything that we touch is God's. And so that's why this broadcast is worth it. We're talking about how do we manage faithfully. This next call comes in from New Orleans. This is Jordan. Jordan, how are you?
I'm doing good, Mr. Chris. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm better every day. How can I help you?
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. Before I go ahead, sir, I just wanted to say that your show with Miss Lisa Harper truly touched me, sir. And I just wanted to say thank you all. Thank you all both.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad it helped you.
Yes, sir. But my question I have for you, Mr. Chris, if I can give you a little background, it's regarding buying a home, but I don't have any debt. I stay with my parents and I'm currently in school. I'm almost finishing up my studies and I was interested in relocating to another state.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, upon relocating, should I relocate, rent, and then buy a home, or should I buy a home while I'm still staying at home with my parents?
Yeah, I would strongly encourage you, Jordan, to rent for a year or two, unless you have some really good local intel, some kind of source there that can walk you through some of the things that you can't research. There's some things you can research, like school zones and traffic patterns, variances, mm-hmm. home values. There's some things like that. There's some things you just can't research, and there's social barriers. There's just nuances that you just don't know, and I would feel more comfortable living somewhere for a year or two before I pull the trigger on such a major investment. So the biggest thing for you to remember is when you go to pull the trigger, you want to make sure that you have obviously, you said you had no debt, but you want to have, in addition to that, you want to have an emergency fund of 3 to 6 months of expenses saved up that is not your down payment. In addition to that, you're going to have 20% down on a 15-year mortgage, fixed mortgage. And that payment that you make, the principal, interest, taxes, and insurance, the PITI payment, mm-hmm. needs to be no more than 25% of your take-home pay. So once all that's in line, then you're ready to rock and roll.
When I do buy, should I buy it outright, sir? Because, this is a very big purchase, and I didn't want to just waste my money like that. But I actually have about $90,000 in my savings. Is that, okay? Should I still try and finance?
Yeah, if you're that close, and you said you're, how old are you?
I'm 25, sir.
Okay, and you don't have a family yet, right?
No, sir.
Okay. Well, what I would do is I would hold off, and I would either get to 110 or 130 or whatever you need, but I would buy that first house outright if I were you, and I would just start off the right way.
Right.
And I wouldn't upgrade your home from here on out until you have more money. So you go to the 130 price point when you have 130. You go to the 175 when you have 175. You have a chance to do what so many who are listening in didn't have a chance to do or chose to do incorrectly. And I'm cheering you on. I'd say, you know what? Interest received is a reward. Interest paid is a penalty. You're saying no to interest. And that's what I would do.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your time, sir. I truly appreciate it.
Hey, cheering you on, and you're ahead of the game, and this whole community is cheering you on, too. That's pretty darn inspiring that you already got $90,000 as a 25-year-old. Pretty cool stuff. Now, this email comes in from Tiffany. She says, hey, Chris, I love your show. We have a relative that could really benefit from the Total Money Makeover and Financial Peace University, but how do we give the book or the program without embarrassing or insulting her or implying that we know her personal business? Now, money matters are usually so hush-hush, especially when things aren't going well. Thanks for your advice. It's such a great question because I'm always talking about here about buying gifts for folks. How do we do that? How do we fight through that tension? What I would do is two things. I have two different approaches. One, hey, I just wanted you to have this because this worked for us. It's a fantastic resource that really helped us. And here's the second thing. I would talk more about the wealth building than I would the debt reduction. Okay, so just go straight because the debt reduction is actually part of a bigger idea, and that is wealth reduction and handling finances God's way. So I would say this worked for us, fantastic resource for biblical wealth building and handling finances God's way. I would not hint at all that she needs anything fixed. It would just be further advice for her to excel with her finances as she hopefully wants to worship God through the way she handles God's blessings, God's way, and for God's glory. Great, great question. Well, folks, again, we're talking about stewardship, and I think it's a good exercise for us, maybe a little bit of homework for you between now and our next episode. Ask yourself this question. What am I a steward of? What am I a steward of? And don't be vague. If it's people, write their actual names down. Your team at work, your kids, your spouse, whatever their names are. For me, I'm a steward of Max. I'm a steward of Jack. I'm a steward of Annie. I'm a steward of Holly. I'm a steward of myself. Write down the actual names. Put them on the refrigerator. And the next time that you're in a conversation with those folks, have a conversation with them through the eyes of being a steward of them. It'll change the way you talk to them. One of those things needs to be that wallet, that checkbook. And if you look at it from the standpoint you're a steward of it all, well, it changes everything. Well, folks, if you are buying or selling a home in the very near future, get in touch with one of our ELPs by going to stewardship.com, clicking on Find an ELP. They will help you tremendously. One of the things that we are a steward of, when you ask yourself that question, is the house that we live in. We're a steward of it. And that decision to buy or sell a home is a stewardship decision. It's not a real estate decision. It's what it looks like, but it's actually a stewardship decision. So I want to encourage you to check out stewardship.com. Well, folks, it has been a pleasure. And until next time, let's continue to manage God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory.